Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, and of course, the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope you're having a happy Sunday, but it was not a very happy Saturday as we got our first impression of the 2025 Green Bay Packers, at least for a lot of people who have not had the opportunity to be out there at training camp or see this team on TV or in person. And it was a very ugly event, to say the least. Packers lose to the Jets 30-10 in a very unentertaining, unfriendly, unexciting, unsexy, un-everything game that just went all the ways that the New York Jets wanted it to go, and really none of the ways that we as Packers fans wanted it to go. Just one of those days at the office, burn the tape, try to learn what you can from it, and move on. Today, we're going to primarily be focusing on what can we actually take away from that game, good or bad, what's important, and then what is sort of a red herring and doesn't really matter, even though maybe it felt like it did in the moment. We'll break down that today. We'll go over player of the game, some players that kind of stood out. All of that will take place through the course of today's episode. But before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Rocky, Bob Parteka, Michael A. Smith, and Sean Beifelt. If you haven't checked out those memberships yet, join over 600 people who are currently Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, which I appreciate a ton, and make sure to check those out. As mentioned, Packers lose to the Jets 30-10, and there's two trains of thought here as to how you can go about viewing this game. The first train of thought is, it's just preseason. It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot, and if you kind of go back to last year, week two in preseason, we got a very similar listless performance by the team, and it really didn't mean anything once the regular season or postseason came along. It's not real. It's not tangible. It's going to change between now in the start of the regular season, and certainly as you get into the later stages of the season and into the postseason. It's not going to matter at all. The second train of thought is, this is a totally unacceptable performance. You go out there and you completely lay an egg. You're at home. Yes, it's a preseason game, but you still have starters playing. You have what's supposed to be the heart of the team. The depth of this team goes out and looks awful. It does matter, and it's totally unacceptable. And the truth is, you are both right. Whatever side that you end up on this, whether it's just preseason, let's not panic, or like, I can't believe that that's the way that they started the season and that should not have happened. You're both 100% right. This is preseason. It's game one of preseason. I think I saw the first Fire LaFleur tweet of the year 4 minutes into the first preseason game. We've officially made it to Packer season. Welcome. Enjoy the show. We don't need to go that far. Right? In the entire scheme of things, this is not real football. There's not a game plan. There's not a scheme. It's vanilla. It's all, you might say, they didn't play vanilla on defense. Jeff Hafley was doing some, yes, he was doing some stuff, but you don't specifically game plan for that. You're not scheming it up. You're not necessarily worried about what players are doing what. There's a difference. There's a massive difference. So yes, you might've seen a couple blitzes or a couple exotic looks where a safety flows back from the line of scrimmage back to safety. This is not the stuff that they're going to be pulling out early against Detroit. Overall, these are some fairly base things, and they might be putting a couple things on tape that they want teams to see. A lot of times that's even more important than what they're actually running to try to stop the opponent. It doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot. On the flip side, every single time that you are on the field, whether it's the practice field, whether it's what we have coming up this week with two teams practicing against each other, the joint practices, whether it's a preseason game, whether it's a Hall of Fame game, whether it is a Super Bowl or anything in between, regular season, et cetera, you should be going out there to try to put your best foot forward and just not be embarrassing. Let's just put it that way. Not be embarrassing. That's not a pretty high bar to try to reach. So, don't embarrass. And today, at least as I'm recording this, I guess at very early on Sunday, yesterday, the Packers were fairly embarrassing in that game. And that, it just can't happen. And again, I don't necessarily care about the result. Who won and lost this game doesn't matter at all. I don't necessarily even care that they lost 30-10, depending on the circumstances. Like if Sean Clifford was in there at quarterback the whole time or whatever, I wouldn't necessarily care that it was 30-10. I do care that the individual performances and the team performance were just strictly not good enough. That is somewhat bothersome, not worrisome. There's a difference between worrisome and bothersome. I'm bothered by it. I'm not worried by it, but it's frustrating. It's annoying. And for, like I said, a lot of people, this is very much your first impression of this 2025 Packers team. And the first impression is not the be-all end-all. It's not what's going to dictate who this Packers team is for the remainder of the season. But you want a nice first impression. You want to make a good impression for everyone, and the Packers did the exact opposite of that. So very frustrating, to say the least. Yes, it's just preseason. No, this is not who they are going to be come regular season and postseason. Yes, it is completely unacceptable, and it should have been much better than the brand of football that we saw on the field on Saturday night. The team was overall listless. They had no attention to detail, and they were out-physical. And there are two things there that I think are really, really important. The physicality and the attention to detail. And why those two things are important are because they've been something that this team has been really focusing on since the start of the offseason. You can tell from Matt and Brian with some of the comments that they made that they've wanted to be a more physical team. We have heard countless amount of times about urgency and attention to detail and how they want this team hyper-focused and ready to go. And again, we did not see either of those things at all. The Jets were the more physical of the two teams. No question about it. Who dictated terms in that game? You don't need to look at the scoreboard. You can tell very clearly by watching the quick replay or even in real time which team was doing the dictating. It was the New York Jets. The Jets out-physicaled Green Bay in this game. And the attention to detail was atrocious. Whether it was the turnovers, whether it was the penalties, whether it was the drops, whether it was the preparedness, whether it was all of it. Just a complete lack of attention to detail. And those two things are noteworthy. Those are two because they are two things that have been at the forefront for this team. Matt LaFleur, the day one of training camp, was asked what he wants to see, and it was attention to detail. I mean, Brian has gone in, you know, detail as well about the, and you could just tell the way that they want to build this team and have them be very physical. And we just did not see either of those two things in this particular football game. Now, I did mention on the pregame show that one of the things I was going to be watching for is, when you have a new head coach, you have somebody who is trying to set the tone. You have somebody that wants to get buy-in. And while a win doesn't matter in preseason, it matters a little bit to a new head coach who's trying to get buy-in from his players and have proof of concept of what he's trying to do. You could tell that this team was maybe a little bit more hyped up. New head coach, a little bit more energy. We're going to show people who we are. This is a new New York Jets team. The Packers, yeah, you know, maybe not so much. That may sound like a cope. That may sound like, oh, it's an excuse. And to some extent, I want to be very clear. What I said earlier of this being unacceptable is totally true. I'm not moving the goalposts here and changing the narrative entirely. But I do think it's worth noting this probably meant a little bit more to Aaron Glenn and the Jets than it did to Matt LaFleur and the Packers. Green Bay is going to be measured by what they do late in the season and hopefully well into the postseason. The Jets, they're just trying to get things headed in the right direction, and preseason game one is a way to do that. And you could tell they played with a little bit more intensity and a little bit more physicality, or a lot of more intensity and a lot more physicality, and it definitely showed up in this game. Couple things. This is the potential for a great wake-up call for Green Bay. If this is, you know, week one of preseason and you realize, oh, we are still a ways away from getting to the point where we want to be to start the season against Detroit, should be message received. Should be the fact that this team still has some steps to take with how they're going to play, their attention to detail, the physicality, and what it takes to just go out and start playing winning football again. This was very clearly not an example of winning football. There's also a great week for a joint practice and preseason game two, and actually seeing another team across from you. It felt like this team was getting a little bit, you know, sick of having to face each other day in and day out. And I don't know if they, you know, kind of just let the foot off the gas a little bit and were just thinking that once they faced another team, they were good to go. They're going to be able to get out there right away on Tuesday. They're going to be able to, you know, go and have their normal practice, hopefully make the corrections that they need. Thursday, they will actually go and face Indy in Indy and join practices. And then Saturday, it sounds like the starters are not going to play in that game, but we'll get to see some of these players go out and try to atone for some of the sins that they committed in Saturday's game. So it's a great week for a joint practice in preseason game two, just to hopefully flush some of the thoughts of Saturday down the drain and start fresh with a new opponent this upcoming week. And also, we are 28 days from Packers Lions. There's a lot of time to get these things corrected. And again, I'm not even convinced that there's anything that is that drastic that needs to be done here. It's just getting everyone refocused. This is what I consider a recalibration game. You were sort of calibrated, you know, with the first couple weeks of training camp of where you thought you were as a team. And then you got a little bit of a litmus test and you realized, oh, all right, we were at like a 3 and we need to get this very quickly to get ready for Detroit in 28 days. To a 10. And you maybe they thought they were at a 7 or an 8. And it sounds, or it seems more like they're much lower than that right now from where they need to be. So they have to step it up, practice harder, work harder, get that better attention to detail, play with more physicality. Let's see how it goes this week against the Colts. And then, like I said, 28 days away from Packers Lions. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. Have to go with Amar Johnson here. This is one of the few players who shined at all in this game. Daniel Whalen would have probably been the other one. 7 for 67 and a touchdown for Amar Johnson on the ground. He did not have any receptions. Capped off his day with a 39-yard touchdown run, which was a beautiful run. Did a lot of it on his own. He looked quick. He looked strong. He looked explosive. I'm not sure he's in the 53-man conversation at this point, but it was a good opening argument to be in the conversation. And now we'll see what he can do in the next couple games. I would immediately put him ahead of Israel Abanaconda. I think he's looked better than Abanaconda has. And I would start getting him a little bit more ingrained in this offense to see if he can push somebody like maybe an Emmanuel Wilson for that spot, or if he looks good enough that you feel maybe comfortable releasing Emmanuel Wilson because you feel like if you don't get Emmanuel Wilson back in the practice squad, you're probably going to get Amar Johnson there, and it might be almost, maybe not quite apples to apples, but maybe there's not that much of a drop off there and it kind of saves you a roster spot. So I want to see a little bit more Amar Johnson, but for me, he was the Luigi's Pizza player of the game. No victory pizza on Saturday, which made me very, very sad. Thankfully, there's still never a bad time to have a Luigi's frozen pizza. Go to luigispizza.com, luigespizza.com, and follow them on social media at Luigi's Pizza to check out all of their frozen pizzas that they have available. And if you are in an area that has Luigi's frozen pizzas, trust me, go get one. Like I said, there's never a bad time to get a Luigi's pizza. Also, let's talk about the Habish and Rotier injury update. 3 injuries from this game that we know of. Zane Anderson looked like he had a pretty, I don't know how severe, but it didn't look like a good knee injury. I'll just put it that way. Corey Ballantyne, unknown. He did leave the field. I don't know for sure if he came back or not, but he did walk off with a trainer at one point late in the game. And then Jaylen White left with a foot injury. We also did see Jaden Reed with a boot on his foot, a walking boot, which is never what you want to see. Matt LaFleur was asked about it after practice and said, you know, there's hope that he can be available for week 1, but anytime that there's a walking boot involved, it always gives you cause for concern. Adam Schefter did tweet out about Jaden Reed and did say that he's considered day-to-day. Day-to-day sounds very, very good at the moment. When a player's in a walking boot, you kind of can fear the worst sometimes. So day-to-day would be very encouraging and would give you a lot of hope that he'd be ready for week 1. Green Bay is just in this sort of holding pattern right now with some of these players like Jaden Reed, Xavier McKinney, Nate Hobbs, et cetera, maybe even Dontavian Wicks in that conversation of, are they going to get them back in time for week 1? Those injuries are piling up a little bit. And as long as they're not affecting Detroit, Green Bay, or anything longer than that, you feel okay about it. But again, the injury list is starting to pile up at a rate that is not exactly ideal at the moment. If you haven't checked out Habish and Rotier, and if you're in need of a personal injury attorney, make sure to check them out over at Habish.com. They've done such a great job supporting us here at Packaday. Make sure you are supporting them as well. Tell them that Andy Herman or the Packaday podcast send you when you sign up or when you give them a call. You can call them at 800-242-2874. Again, if you are looking for a personal injury attorney, their website's super easy to use as well. You can chat with somebody right out there. And when you call the number, you are going to chat with an attorney directly, which is one of the real key benefits of calling them and not having to go through seven IVRs and hit this to talk to this. It's just really simple to use. And they know how to speak Wisconsin as well, which is also very, very nice. Habish Habish Rotier, national reputation, hometown service. All right. So what actually matters from this game? The first thing is injuries. Anytime you get injuries, that is cause for concern. It does actually matter. Zane Anderson, we'll see if it's any sort of long-term issue or not. He was ahead of Kitano Ladapo, getting some time and some three safety looks here and there, depending on where they were at and what Javon Bullard was doing at corner safety. And right now, obviously, with Xavier McKinney out, that was one of the main reasons, but also a core special teamer. Corey Ballantyne immediately was one of the top gunners on special teams. That is noteworthy and looks like he could be a depth piece at corner. He goes out injured. Jalen White, less of a concern. But again, Jaden Reed, seeing him in the walking boot, I know he didn't get specifically hurt in this game, but just even learning that as well, the injuries are the number one thing that you're kind of looking at. And we'll see if there's any other players that got nicked up or banged up that could potentially miss some practice time as well this week. Number two is that they were outplayed in every facet. That absolutely matters. And I'll say it again, especially when you're supposed to be a team that has great depth and that's supposed to be one of the strengths of the team, you should go out and dominate in preseason. That's why, and I'll take the L on this one, I predicted a 3-0 preseason is because, A, I thought Malik Willis would play a lot and that would give them a leg up. It's because you have almost like a starting caliber quarterback at times, at least how he looked last year, going out there and playing a good chunk of the game, but also because they do have that allegedly great depth everywhere. And we just did not see that come to fruition at all against New York. And when you're outplayed in offense, defense, special teams, like I said, every facet of the game, that's jarring. And it's a little bit, just disorienting for what you're expecting going into that game. So that to me absolutely matters. That needs to get cleaned up in a very significant way. I do think that it also matters that you did get some, at minimum, signs. I want to watch the All-22. That's why I'm not going over any like big standout players in great detail today. I will go through some stock up and stock down in just a moment, but I did think there were at least signs from players like Jordan Morgan, Anthony Belton, LVN, Nasir Stackhouse, Baron Sorrell, Matthew Golden, Kingsley Enagbare, Colby Wooden, Kalen King, just to name a few. There were some good moments from those players, and that to me is at least a little bit of a positive. And I do think that there is something to take away from that on the good side of things. And I do think that does matter to get, especially some of those young guys, Morgan, Belton, LVN, Stack. I mean, all of them really are, just to see some of those players have moments in this game. That gives me some reason for optimism moving forward. I do think the Mecole Hardman punt issues absolutely matter. Probably the player, we'll talk about one other one, but probably the player that hurt himself the most. We're going to talk about that other one just a second here. But Mecole Hardman, we talked about, probably needs to make this team as a punt returner. And to have a muff punt and one that ends up in your own 5-yard line, not to mention a drop as a receiver as well, a very tough day at the office for Mecole Hardman. And as somebody who needs to make this team as a punt returner to make the team, a terrible day as a punt returner matters quite a bit and is definitely something you're going to take away from this game. Next up is Jacob Monk's struggles. There were a lot of people, myself included, that were a little bit surprised that Jacob Monk got all the way to inactive for so many of the games last year, that he wasn't one of the first guys up in case of emergency. And then, in that final Philadelphia game, that it was Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford that were getting in and Jacob Monk was not. And that was a little bit surprising. Jacob Monk, just a brutal day. Gave up a sack, 3 different holding penalties, and just could not, whether it was at guard or center, hold his own against the Jets defensive line that was not exactly playing a ton of star players when Jacob Monk was in there later in the game. It was a very disconcerting performance for Jacob Monk. This is a player that seemed to be a lock to make the team and looked like he was going to have the ability to be maybe one of the guys that was the first people up off the bench, especially on the interior, whether it be center or guard. And he looked brutal, absolutely brutal. So to me, that matters, and that is definitely cause for concern as you start looking at the depth of the offensive line. There was a play, Justice Mosqueda pointed this out. We've talked about Jeff Hafley starting to mix up some of the fronts a little bit and be a little bit more creative. There was a play where they had 4-3 personnel out there, but basically lined up in a 3-4. LVN kicked inside to defensive end. And then Isaiah Simmons was basically used as a stand-up outside linebacker in a 3-4. And that versatility is really interesting. Not much came of it on that particular play, but it's just interesting nonetheless to see some of the creativity start to come out of just how you can manipulate some of these personnel groupings to be either a 4-3 or 3-4, just depending on how you line that up. We've talked about that in the past of how there's some real possibility to do some fun stuff with it. We saw one play of it today. I do think it just kind of matters that there is some of that in Jeff Hafley's mind. We could see more of that as the season goes along. As I mentioned earlier, I think it matters that this is your chance to, you know, learn from getting punched in the mouth. There's no better time to learn that lesson than week one of preseason. You know, if it's week three of preseason, no, you don't have much time in that turnaround getting into Detroit. If it's the regular season, it probably means a loss. If it's the postseason, it probably means you're eliminated. This is probably the very best game to learn that lesson from. And it does give you that chance to recalibrate, understand that you got punched in the mouth, and then respond to it and hopefully be much better in practice for the foreseeable future in the joint practices, preseason, and then heading in to that week one game against Detroit. We'll be right back. This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Preseason football is underway and college football is just starting, but you can already make season-long more or less picks for the 2025 season on Prize Picks. Enter your picks before week one even kicks off. I had an absolute blast winning on Prize Picks last year, and I am gearing up for another epic run in 2025 and already have some key players in mind, including a breakout year from Jordan Love, a sensational second-year performance from both Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., and an unbelievable rookie debut from Ashton Jeanty. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports, and there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code PACKADAY at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code PACKADAY at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY. And last but not least, the last thing that matters is individual evaluations. That's what the preseason's really for, is to gauge who did their job, who did not do their job, who showed up ready to play, who was nervous, who was not ready to play. Like, all of these things matter when you're trying to evaluate which players you actually want making the 53-man roster. So whatever those grades end up being internally, and we'll go through my grades later in the week, but those individual evaluations are far more important than trying to evaluate the team at this point in time when, again, you're not scheming, you're not having all your players out there. It's definitely a lot different in preseason than it is in regular season, but those individual evaluations matter a ton. So the things that matter, injuries, the fact that they were outplayed in every facet, some good signs from some young players, Mecole Hardman's punt mess-ups, Jacob Monk's struggles, seeing some of the unique stuff they can do going from like a 4-3 to a 3-4, a chance to learn from being punched in the mouth, and those individual evaluations. What I think does not matter in this game at all, the actual score and outcome of the game. I don't care that they lost. I don't care that it was 30 to 10 in general. I care about the product on the field. The product on the field sucked, and that's what ticks me off. The fact that they lost is completely irrelevant. The score is completely irrelevant. The brand of football, very relevant and very sucky in this particular game. I actually don't think, and people are going to disagree with me on this one. That's okay. I know that you have a carryover of the drops from 2024 to now this first preseason game. It's like one of the things you're just like, just catch the dang ball. It's not that hard, right? Like, this is a pretty easy concept for a wide receiver, is to catch the ball. The drop issues, Dontayvion Wicks, Jaden Reed, it's like those were the primary culprits in 2024. You know, in 2025, we did not get to see in this particular game Jaden Reed or Dontayvion Wicks. I do think Romeo had a drop on the first play. It's not what you want to see on that particular instance. He has not been somebody in general that's had a ton of drops or anything like that. And then, yes, Malik Heath, Mecole Hardman, they could theoretically make the team. You're not expecting them to be out there a ton. I'm not ready to jump to the conclusion of, well, now drops are still a huge thing. Matthew Golden had a really nice pluck and his hands have looked phenomenal. Let's see when everyone's actually out there and when this matters a little bit more, if it's still an issue. I'm not ready to jump to the conclusion of, well, drops were bad that last year, and now, you know, Heath and Hardman, and yes, one from Dobbs, now it's all of a sudden an issue again this year. I think it's a little bit premature to say that, although it's not, again, a great first impression for 2025. I'm not concerned about the soft defense in the middle of the field. It was a leaky middle of the field defense. There's no question about it. Jeff will have that ready to go in week one against Detroit. You're not going to see that ultra soft middle. This is not going to turn into a Joe Barry defense. I'll just put it that way. No concern there whatsoever. I talked about Mecole Hardman and that it mattered that he played very poorly in this game. What I am not going to care about with Mecole Hardman is that he was aggressive. This is a preseason game. Yes, he caught one inside the 5-yard line. I can promise you he's not doing that in a regular season game. And I have no issue with him doing that in a preseason game. Take it. See what you can do. See if you can make something happen. I have no issue with him trying to grab that punt and return it, the one that bounced on the ground first. Being aggressive in a preseason game to try to either make a name for yourself or make something happen, go for it. Go in. Like, I honestly, as like a coach, I would also want you to return it just because I want to see who's doing well on the blocking units and on the outsides. And I want to see how the entire operation works. Him just going back there and fair catching or letting it bounce and try to go into the end zone doesn't really prove a lot to me. I know that he can make good decisions when it's actually the regular season. Go try, return. I'm not going to get mad at that. Now, he made terrible plays. That is going to cost him, but I don't actually care that he was aggressive in trying to do some of that stuff. And then last but not least, Jordan Love. The stat line looks terrible. It looks egregious. I don't think there's a good game from Jordan. The Musgrave ball was not a good ball. Kind of a hospital ball, especially in a preseason game. And then, you know, I thought, you know, just kind of attacking Sauce Gardner on a couple occasions, maybe not exactly what you want to make a habit of. Did take a sack on a play. I don't think it was all his fault by any means, but I didn't think it was a good performance from Jordan. But I'm also not, well, you know, ready to panic or anything like that. And I do think that the actual performance was much better than the box score would indicate. So the things that don't matter, the score and outcome, the drops, soft defense in the middle of the field, Hardman's aggressiveness, and Jordan Love's overall performance. Some other miscellaneous notes. Isaiah Simmons was used as a gunner. We have seen Green Bay do this before in camp with Simmons, but we've also seen them use Edrin Cooper a little bit in that role as well. Mark McNamee, finally there for Green Bay. He handled the kickoff duties. This is really why he's in Green Bay right now. They didn't really want McManus to have to do all the kickoff duties and things like that. They want to save his leg. So we got to see Mark McNamee for the first time, and he was the one in charge of kickoff duties. It was Adam Stenovich who called the plays on the day. And as I mentioned earlier, Matt LaFleur does not believe the starters will play in week two and, you know, by extension, pretty much week three either. Three players whose stock are up after this game, at least at first glance. We'll take a look at what the All 22 says, but I would say Baron Sorrell, Amar Johnson, and Jordan Morgan. Three players whose stock is down: Mecole Hardman, Jacob Monk, and Isaiah Simmons. Not time to panic. As Aaron Nagler would say, there's a lot of ball game left. It is fair to be disappointed with the brand of football that this team went out and played in week one of the preseason against the New York Jets, especially at home. See how they bounce back. Have a good week of practice this week, including a joint practice against Indianapolis and then a game on Saturday. We'll see if they can show a little bit more fight and hopefully be much better in game two than they were in game one. And hopefully that can be a stepping stone for them moving forward. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. See you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.